Welcome to Talk Nation Radio, a half-hour discussion of politics as if the people mattered. I'm David Swanson. A three-hour military recruitment test is required of every student in thousands of schools across the country. How is this possible? They don't tell anybody it's for the military.
But if they pitch it in a deceptive and insidious way as a career inventory, then he can get the information.
Should you be worried that recruiters have your child's name and contact information? They do have it. They have much more than that.
The military is way past name, address, and phone number. They're more about girlfriend and pickup truck, fly fishing. I mean, they're inside of a kid's head through Facebook and other internet tools.
And can you guess which types of schools recruiters try hardest to get these tests into?
You know, in a fairly large swath, for instance, say in Montgomery County, Maryland, Bethesda, Maryland, Potomac, Maryland, upper middle class areas, it's simply not given.
My guest this week is Pat Elder, the director of the National Coalition to Protect Student Privacy. The website is studentprivacy.org. Pat Elder, thank you for coming on Talk Nation Radio.
I appreciate it, David. Thank you for having me.
So who is threatening student privacy?
Well, the United States military is threatening student privacy in 12,000 high schools across the country.
And how exactly is it doing that?
Well, they give a test called the ASVAB. I'm sure many of your listeners never heard of it. It's the Armed Services Vocational Aptitude Battery. And they give it under the guise of a career exploration program. So they'll go into a school and they'll put posters up, the military recruiters will, and the posters will say, hey, kid, take this test. It's great so you can figure out what you want to do when you get out of high school. This is a career inventory test, the ASVAB career inventory test. So you take this three-hour test, and then afterward, based on the test, we can help you figure out what you want to do. You might want to be a fireman. You might want to be a medical doctor. But we'll help you. And so it's pitched as a tool to help children figure out what they want to do in the civilian world.
Sounds like a good thing.
No reference whatsoever to the military. In fact, they don't even explain what the acronym ASVAB stands for. Actually, there are several military documents, the Recruiter's Handbook, the Army Recruiter's Handbook, the Military Test Program, that point to the ASVAB as a recruiting tool. And so the purpose of the ASVAB is to collect 3 hours of information from a kid, along with their social security numbers, and about 20 questions regarding their career aspirations and, demographics, race, ethnicity, all of those types of questions. And the military collects that information specifically for recruiting.
And so then what happens? What harm does that do to a kid to have the military acquire all of that information with or without having known it was the military doing it?
Well, right now, your typical recruiter is armed with a laptop, and he spends a fair amount of his time using what's known as the Army Segmentation Program or the Armed Services Segmentation Program. And they also use electronic trolling devices to monitor Facebook and other types of online programs. And youth will often play games and relinquish their private information through those games. So the recruiter spends a lot of his time collecting information on Johnny, we'll say. And he'll be able to tell, for instance, that Johnny's girlfriend doesn't really want him to join the military. Johnny drives a pickup truck, and Johnny loves fly fishing. And he's a pretty good wrestler when he was in high school and is having problems with his dad. And, you know, the recruiter can collect all of that information from public sources. What the recruiter doesn't have is the academic side. He can't buy it. It's not there. So he can't go to a ring company or a yearbook company or any other source and purchase that information outright. But he can go to the schools. If he went to the schools, the recruiter, and said, okay, sit down, shut up, I want you to take this military test, and we're going to use it to recruit you, he'd probably be told by many schools you can't do so. But if they pitch it in a deceptive and insidious way as a career inventory, then he can get the information. So he matches the stuff that he can get online, you know, through electronic trolling of these social networks with 3 hours of information. So now he's got the cognitive side of John's head, and he matches it with the social, and it's a powerful cocktail. So he can call up Johnny or meet him after school and say, dude, what do you think about doing after school? Hey, I remember when I was in high school, man, I was driving my truck, I had a beat up old Chevy truck. And then Johnny goes, oh, man, I got a Chevy truck. That's really cool, really? Yeah, man. And so the conversation goes back and forth, but there's a psychological element to it. I said it's an insidious campaign. And so they're collecting a really scary amount of data on each kid, and then they're using it to recruit. And that's what it takes sometimes nowadays, because the proclivity of kids to join, it's not as you would think in the mainstream media. We really don't have a crush of millions of kids lining up to join the military. They need to be recruited. And so when you hear that we have a volunteer force, it's farcical. We have a recruited force, and there's a big difference.
And when these tests are presented, albeit misleadingly, you don't know it's the military testing you, is it optional or do you have to take the test?
Well, it depends on the school. As I said earlier, there are 12,000 schools where the test is given. In 1,000 schools, actually 1,054 schools, according to the United States Military Entrance Processing Command, for data for the school year 2009-2010, the latest data we have, over 1,000 schools actually require all juniors to take the test. See, the scores for the test are used to ascertain an individual's AFQT, and that's the Armed Forces Qualifying Test Score. And so the results are good for 2 years for enlistment purposes. So it's a way to pre-qualify somebody for military service. So 1,000 schools actually say, okay, kid, sit down, you're taking this test. And, yep, it is involved with the military, but it won't be used against you. It's not going to be used for anything other than to help you decide what career you might want to pursue. So it's a good thing, and we're making you take this test because we want to help you figure out what you want to do when you get older. And so it's important because you have two different sets of federal laws. And one is FERPA, which is the Family Educational Rights Privacy Act. It's also known as the Buckley Amendment, and it was passed by Congress in 1982. And basically that law says that schools can't just sell stuff to corporations. They have to get the parents to sign off on the release of student information. And then the other one is the No Child Left Behind Act, which basically says that if a military recruiter wants, he can receive the name, address, and phone number of a kid as long as he requests it. So the No Child Left Behind Act is limited to just the name, address, and phone number, whereas the ASVAB is 3 hours of test data plus all kinds of demographic information.
So, let me ask you, Pat Elder with studentprivacy.org, the No Child Left Behind Act, for years now you've heard about campaigns to encourage parents to opt out so that you have to proactively choose not to have your information, your child's information, sent to military recruiters. Is that still an issue? Is that useful? How does that relate to this campaign?
Well, there's a lot of debate in the anti-war movement, a lot of debate particularly in the counter-recruitment movement. But I take the side that the opt-out campaigns really, it's not time that's well spent. The Bush administration signed into law in 2002, this No Child Left Behind Act. It's actually ESEA, which is the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, Section 9528. And that part of ESSE basically says that if a recruiter asks, he can receive from a high school the names, addresses, and phone numbers of everybody in that school, provided the parents are given the opportunity to opt out the names and addresses and phone numbers being sent to the military on behalf of their kids. The thing is, that legislation goes back to, actually was drafted in 2001. Well, there's been a sea change in terms of internet technology since then. The military's way past name, address, and phone number. They're more about girlfriends and pickup trucks and fly fishing, I mean, they're inside of a kid's head through Facebook and other internet tools, so it's not that important to us. So we just see a lot of folks across the country who are working this opt-out issue. Just real quick sideline here, we passed legislation in the state of Maryland 3 years ago, and it mandated the placement of the opt-out language on the emergency contact card. And the emergency contact card is really the only sheet of paper that mom and dad have to sign at the beginning of every school year. And so now, you know, with the emergency contact form, there's a statement that basically says, hey, do you want your kid's information to be released to military recruiters? Yes or no? And, of course, over 90% say no. You know, who would want that? I mean, if you want to get in touch with the military, well, then, you know, you call the military. We don't just want to wholesale release information. And most Americans feel that way. And so when we passed that in Maryland's legislature, the military didn't come out. They didn't care. I mean, they just didn't care. So what?
The ground has shifted, I take it, to the ASVAB test, to this three-hour test.
Not just the ASVAB, but, you know, the JROTC program as well. You know, in Maryland, the military didn't care. But when the ASVAB, right, now when that law was passed, that said, you know, we want all students to take the test in Maryland have to have option 8 selected for them. And that's basically part of the military regulation that says that the test results can't automatically be forwarded to military recruiters without parental consent. So no longer can you tell, you know, 800 kids in high school to sit down and take this military test and shift everything to the recruiters. Now, in Maryland, because we passed that law, several hundred kids can take the test, but none of the scores are released to the recruiters unless a kid or his parent actually go to a recruiting office and fill out a form requesting that the information be used for recruitment purposes. When we passed that law in Maryland, the military, the top colonel in charge of recruiting at Fort Meade, you know, in Maryland, sent a letter to every legislator and testified against the bill, saying that he felt that the military, rather than parents, should be trusted concerning the release of private student information. So we just trotted out the head of the PTA. So the PTA lady testified, and she said that she felt that parents, rather than the Pentagon, should be responsible for making decisions regarding the release of student information. And we even got Republicans to vote for this, as well as virtually every moderate Democrat in the House and the Senate. We passed the law. Governor O'Malley signed it into law.
Pat Elder with studentprivacy.org. This is, I take it, a first, a success in the state of Maryland. Is Maryland the only state that has moved to this requirement that the results of the ASVAB test do not go automatically to recruiters?
Well, actually, the state of Hawaii has a similar policy in effect. However, in Hawaii, the Hawaii Department of Education put the policy in effect. It wasn't a law in Hawaii, but both, you know, accomplished the same task, which is protecting the privacy of kids who take the ASVAB in the public schools. Maryland, though, it is the gold standard because we have checked to see if the policy or the law is being adhered to, and it is. I mean, most superintendent's offices have compliance officers, and their job, of course, is to make sure that the school system is complying with various federal and state laws. And so this is just one more law that they make sure that they comply with. And for instance, down here in St. Mary's County, Maryland, a rural southern district, all kids take the ASVAB under option 8, which means that their test results say cannot be used with, you know, for recruiting purposes unless the student or his parent, if he's under 18, actually goes to a recruiting office and specifically requests that the results be used for recruiting purposes. I wonder how it comes off to your listeners, David. I mean, is it too nuanced?
Well, I think people might be very interested to know whether schools where they live administer the ASVAB test, this military recruitment test that's not advertised as such, and whether they make it mandatory for students in their schools. How could someone find out what the status is for their school?
Just go to studentprivacy.org, right on the homepage, top right corner, you'll see a drop-down menu, and just select your state. And the names of your individual high schools will appear. And then the option, the release option will appear. You know, there are 8 release options, and the Pentagon unnecessarily complicates things. But from our perspective, options 1 through 7 basically mean that they're going to get your information and they can use it for recruiting purposes, whereas option 8 means that that the kid has basically really taken a test for career purposes and not for recruitment purposes. I think it's also interesting to note, David, that I'm sure most of your viewers have heard of, you know, what a FOIA is, Freedom of Information Act request. So we have requested and received 3 consecutive years of FOIA results regarding military testing in every high school across the country. And we put in for the 2010-2011 data, as we always have, in June of the year that just ended, last June. And typically, we've been able to get the information in a month or two. Apparently, the Obama administration has been dragging its feet. In fact, some would argue the Bush administration has done a better job in terms of FOIA requests. So we haven't received our data, and We received a letter after, I think there were 9 back and forth from the United States Military Entrance Processing Command back in December, and they said that they're no longer in the business of meeting FOIA requests, and they forwarded our request to the United States Data Manpower. That's where we are now. We just received a reply to one of our letters saying that we might have to wait another 6 months. In the meantime, when we began this campaign back in 2005, less than 1% of the people who had the test, who took the test, did so under option 8. And the data from the year 2009-2010 shows that 12.2% of all students take it, do so under option 8. And that more than 1,100 schools across the country now do so under option 8. And we expect that when we get the data that we've been waiting for since last July, it'll reflect all of Hawaii and Maryland, as well as several hundred other schools that we've been directly responsible for getting to select option 8. So we think we're up to about 20% right now. So on the one hand, you have a real grassroots movement with several hundred people across the country going, wow, I can do this. I can write a letter to my superintendent. I can write a letter to my school board and say, yo, select option 8, protect the privacy of kids. And so people have been doing this, and it's working, and it's powerful, and it's quantifiable, and we're beating the Pentagon at this. And so in the meantime, the Pentagon is not giving us the data that we're entitled to by law.
But it is a campaign that is having some success, and people can go to studentprivacy.org and find out the status of schools in their area and their state. This is Talk Nation Radio. I'm David Swanson speaking with Pat Elder from the National Coalition to Protect Student Privacy. When you look at these schools, Pat, that are requiring this test, do you see, as has been documented in the past with various military recruitment efforts, any patterns related to disproportionately targeting poor schools or minority schools?
Absolutely. You know, I did a study in the state of Maryland, and I was able to show that not one school that had median family incomes above $400,000 administered the ASVAB, which meant that, you know, in a fairly large swath, let's say in Montgomery County, Maryland, Bethesda, Maryland, Potomac, Maryland, upper middle class areas, it's simply not given. So, for instance, I went to Elbridge James, who is Maryland's head of the NAACP, and I said, Elbridge, here's the list of the names of the schools and the numbers of kids that have taken the test. And he just looked at it and goes, okay, Bladensburg, yeah, Baltimore, yeah, okay. I'll testify. I mean, he only had just glanced at it. I'll give you some other examples. In Rhode Island, Shea High School has a minority population of 86%, which is the highest in that state, and they have required ASVAB testing. I mean, so the view is, oh, you know, you're black, you know, you're Hispanic, just sit down, take this military test that we'll use for recruiting purposes, and we won't tell your parents what's going on, and we won't ask their permission. Whereas in Rhode Island, not one school that I could find that was predominantly white, that is more than 80% white, gave tests. In New Jersey, the one school in New Jersey with just 1% white forces the administration of the ASVAB. In Utah, it's really striking. In Utah, not one school, more than 80% white, gave the ASVAB. And yet in all schools that were more than 30% minority, they all gave the ASVAB. And so, you know, it would be wonderful if we had some time and some money to really get into the economic and racial ramifications of military testing. But it is clearly fair to say that the military prefers to administer the ASVAB in areas with more challenged economic demographics. And then that usually translates to areas that have high minorities.
I have to ask, Pat, about your overall strategy of going after concerns of privacy, because of course we're talking about taking kids into wars, into unnecessary killing and risking of lives, while the majority of the American public wants out of our wars, wants money shifted away from wars. Come holiday season, we're all for peace on earth, and yet you don't call it keep these lying, scheming military recruiters out of our schools.org. You call it studentprivacy.org. And so for someone who favors peace and is against war, it seems sort of to bury the lead to make the concern privacy. After all, who cares what information someone has about you? It's the harm they might do with it. Where does that strategy come from?
Well, peace and justice are dirty words in state capitals. And it had to be pointed out to me in Maryland. I was told by several Maryland delegates and senators that you don't tout peace and justice. Peace and justice are left-wing ideals, and they don't resonate in state house. So, for instance, I've been on the steering committee of the National Network Opposing the Militarization of Youth, NOMY, www.nnomy.org. And we're pretty stridently anti-military counter-recruitment group, and we don't pull punches with NOMY. But when I started giving moderate Democrats links from NOMY, I'd send them emails, say, oh, well, check out these statistics from NOMY. And they bump across an article that would talk about imperial aggression, or racist recruiting policies without, pulling any punches. I started getting some comments back that, if I really wanted to seriously pass legislation in the state of Maryland, itself a fairly liberal state, I better clean up my act and either start a brand new website or just don't give out, any clues that I'm affiliated with the hard left. That carried on to, just debate within our own camp. And so if you read through our website, it basically says, fine, the ASVAB's a great test. It's wonderful. And we defend the military's presence in the public. I mean, hell, we don't have any choice because the law enshrines it. In 2001, the No Child Left Behind Act doesn't just say, hey, recruiter, you get the name, address, and phone number, of the kids, but it also says military recruiters have the right to all the access the college recruiters have. So why not just say, well, fine. We'll throw the dogs a bone. You guys, fine. It's a wonderful test. Go ahead and give the test. We don't have a problem with the test. We don't have a problem with military recruiters in the schools. I mean, between you and me, we do. But.
Right, we do.
There's no point in going into the schools as a strident anti-militarist. Instead, you just say, hey, you know, this is a wonderful partnership between the military and the public sector and the schools. And, you know, we applaud the military. This is a wonderful thought-out test, and it really does help these kids figure out what they want to do when they get older. But, you know, just one thing here, if you could just make sure that the results aren't used for recruiting purposes, you know, and we'll even allow you to give the test for recruiting purposes. Like, what? We'll even defend that. And so Maryland's law basically says the military can still administer the ASVAB for recruiting reasons. It's just that Johnny takes the test and he wants to use the results for enlistment. Then Johnny has to go to the local recruitment station. And sure enough, he sits down with the recruiter and he says, dude, I want to use my ASVAB at school to enlist. And the recruiter prints out a form. Johnny signs it if he's over 18. If not, his parents sign it. And that gives the military the green light to use the ASVAB scores for recruiting purposes.
And, Pat, you know, Elder, we have about a minute left. I think it sounds like a very smart campaign, a very strategic campaign, and one that people could very easily get involved in and see some achievement put down. But I must say, I also admire those localities that seek to ban the recruitment of minors and thereby get recruiters out of the schools. I applaud those individuals who go in and set up their counter-recruitment information booth next to the recruitment one in the cafeteria, and those educators who are creating textbooks and educational information on peace and anti-war mentalities, right, for children. It seemed, and those who are trying to find other jobs that young people could seek. I assume that there are a number of ways to decrease the militarization of our youth.
There are, and I appreciate you saying that, because it's all good, David. You know, and God knows, you know, I've spent my time in high school classrooms and cafeterias among the ranks of counter recruitment folks. It's just that when you deal with legislators and you deal with school boards, you have to leave strident language alone. And if you strike at the military from an anti-militarist tone, you'll lose. But the only, you know, this is a tremendously nuanced campaign. It's about privacy. And because it's about privacy, it's winning.
And that's what sets it apart from many campaigns at the moment. It is winning. It's making success happen. Pat Elder, thank you for coming on Talk Nation Radio. Pat Elder's website is studentprivacy.org. This is Talk Nation Radio. I'm David Swanson. Talk Nation Radio is produced in Charlottesville, Virginia, engineered by Christian Brown in Reno, Nevada, and syndicated by Pacifica Network. Until then.